Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we get started, I want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to especially thank Michael. Thanks so much for your support. We'll send access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And coming up later in the program, we'll bring you part 3 of Kudos for Khan. But here now is the conclusion of the Star of Cape Town matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Ben Stacy, partner.
Oh, hi, Stacy.
We'll be docking a day car in an hour or so now.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget, I'm going to show you and Helen around the town.
Okay, I'll be ready.
Say, Dollar, that was a little excitement we had aboard ship last night, huh? That steward who fell overboard?
That's putting it politely.
Well, what do you mean?
I think he got pushed.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location at sea on the Southern Empress, en route Cape Town to Dakar. To the Home Office Tri-Eastern Indemnity Associates. Assignment, the Star of Cape Town matter. Expense account concluded. Item 12, 50 cents, room service on 2 aspirins. Right from the start, this whole deal had been a series of headaches. Headache 1, Andrew Forbes, international playboy and owner of the Star of Cape Town, insured for $150,000. Forbes was tossing that stone around like it was a cheap toy. He wound up murdered, the diamond missing. Forbes' probable killer, Julio Biak, was in a Cape Town jail at the moment, but his confederate was still on the loose. The steward who could have told me who the confederate was had been fished out of the drink, dead, last night. Now we were going ashore at Dakar, and whoever had that diamond could make it hard for me to find. It could be Stacy, the boy from the wide open spaces. It could be Helen, traveling companion to Agatha Forbes. And I knew if it did turn out to be Helen, it'd leave me kind of sick inside. Worst of all, it could be somebody I didn't even know about. Hence the aspirin. Stacy had asked us to meet him at the gangway at 10 o'clock, but he was nowhere in sight when I showed up. Pretty soon, Helen and Agatha Forbes came along.
Good morning, Johnny.
Hi, Helen. Miss Forbes.
Good morning, Mr. Dollar. Helen just told me about what happened last night. Somebody trying to seize her on deck. How dreadful.
Perhaps I shouldn't have told you, Miss Forbes.
No, I'm glad you did.
Anything happen during the night, Helen?
No, I kept my stateroom door locked.
Well, here you are. Sorry I'm late. I guess I overslept. You all ready?
All ready.
Say, now, I'm mighty glad to see you with us, Miss Forbes. I was hoping you'd come.
I won't be going with you. I'm going to stay aboard and rest.
Oh, come on now, Miss Forbes. Do you good to let your hair down and frisk around a bit.
Really, Mr. Stacy, I assure you I don't feel like frisking around a bit. I'll see you when you get back.
Say, now, I guess I put my foot in my mouth talking that way. Oh, well, I usually do anyway. It's sure big enough.
Well, one thing I had to give Stacy credit for, he was a good guy. He threaded us through street after street in the native quarter of Dakar, narrow passageways crowded with people in stalls where native hawkers were peddling all sorts of merchandise.
This is fascinating, isn't it?
Well, like I told you, Helen, Dakar's quite a place.
I love it.
I wonder if it isn't about time we started back to the ship.
Say, just a minute, Helen. I think there's a shop around here you'd be interested in. Silks, perfume, stuff like that. You interested?
Sure.
Well, let me get my bearings a minute.
You need more perfume?
Johnny, does it bother you that I still wear this perfume Andy Forbes gave me? If it does, I won't.
Yeah, the shop I had in mind is right down the street. Come on.
Stacy led us to the shop. Helen began trying on dresses and robes. This I didn't like. If she had the diamond, this was a golden opportunity to pass it along. But there wasn't much I could do about it. Then all of a sudden I realized that Stacy was nowhere in sight. I went outside and started along the street looking for him. Then I spotted a man following me, a native in a burnoose. So I ducked down the next alley to shake him. But he didn't shake. Then I noticed that this was a blind alley. The native was closing in, and what he had in his hand looked strangely like a knife. Suddenly a door beside me opened.
Come on in, Dollar.
Stacy.
I said come on in.
A gun in front of me, a knife behind me. I guess I don't have much choice. So, you had your stooge steer me here.
I figured sooner or later you'd start looking for me, so I just thought I'd make it easy for you.
Well, thanks.
Stick around, Hassan. I may need you.
Very well.
Hassan's a pretty effective persuader, Dollar.
How jolly. So you're the boy I've been after, Stacy.
Correction. You're the boy I've been after, Dollar.
What are you talking about?
A diamond called the Star of Cape Town. Let's have it.
Oh, look, don't give me that routine. Forbes was knifed by your buddy Julio Biak in Cape Town. You killed the steward aboard ship to keep him from telling me it was you who sent the cablegram to Julio.
Right boy, Dollar.
That should mean you've got the diamond.
Smarten up, boy. You think I'd have arranged this little reception for you if I already had the stone?
Wait a minute. You're the one who was doing all the room searching aboard ship?
I'm the one. Now let's have it.
I don't have it, Stacy, and I don't know where it is.
Oh, you got a real sense of humor, Dollar. So has Hassan. Why don't you show him, Hassan?
Very well.
Hey, look, this isn't going to do you any good.
It's not going to do your face any good either, Hassan.
Hey, look, you...
Don't try it, Dollar. I guarantee you'll get yourself shot. Now, look, so you're a nice, brave boy, but you're being foolish. It's no good trying to snow me. I got it all figured out.
Just what have you got all figured out?
It isn't in her stateroom. It isn't in yours. I searched them both again this morning before we came ashore. That's why I was late.
You're talking about Helen.
Who else? That's why I steered her to that shop to try on dresses. The little lady who owns it is a friend of mine. She'd have found the diamond if Helen was carrying it.
Helen?
Yeah, Helen.
How do you know she had it?
Process of elimination, buddy. She was the only one with Forbes before Julio got to him. I've been watching you and Helen like a hawk, Dollar. There's only one time she could have given you the stone. That was during that tender little clinch on deck last night, right under my nose.
Right under?
What's the matter, Dollar?
Nothing. Yeah, what Stacy had just said popped the whole deal into place suddenly. Right under my nose. Right where it had been all the time.
I tell you what, Dollar, you got just 5 minutes to tell me where that diamond is. Hassan will be here with you, and he's going to start persuading again if you don't
talk. I had to get back to the ship somehow. That meant I'd have to do some fast talking. I looked at Hassan. I couldn't tell which was glittering more, his black eyes or the knife he held against my throat. One wrong word, and I knew he'd start carving. Hassan.
What do you want?
You come from the desert, don't you?
Why?
You're a long way from home. Ever get homesick?
What do you mean?
Oh, I was just thinking, with half the money from that diamond, you could buy yourself an oasis with all the trimmings.
Do not worry. Stacy will pay me well when we get the jewel.
Well, what's he giving you for this job? 3 goats and a new burnoose?
Dollar.
Hey, easy with that knife. It's just that everybody who works for Stacy seems to wind up getting paid off the wrong way.
The wrong...
Take Julio Biak for one. The guy Stacy hired to get the diamond in the first place. He's roosting in the Cape Town jail right now.
You lie.
No, you can check on it. Then there's the steward who sent Stacy's message to Biak. He got shoved overboard. You can check on that, too. But I'm sure a thing like that would never happen to you.
Go on, Dollar.
Okay. I know where the diamond is.
How do I know I can trust you?
You can come with me to get it.
I don't know.
At least he was thinking about it, and that's all I wanted. His eyes got that faraway look. That's what I was waiting for. I whipped my arm up and knocked his knife loose. I buried my fist in his midsection. He jackknifed. A rabbit punch finished him off. I dove for the wall just as Stacy came charging in.
What the...
I kicked the gun out of his hand and went to work. Stacy was rugged, but I finally made it. got the Dakar police to put Stacy and Azan on ice, patched up my face, and headed back to the ship. But there was something else hurting me a lot more than my face. Helen.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
Where have you been? Your face, what happened?
Skip it. I have to hand it to you, Helen. That was a real Class A snow job you pulled on me.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. It was right under my nose all the time. The perfume Forbes gave to you. Now, where's the bottle?
Well, on my dressing table.
Okay.
But...
yeah, pretty fancy bottle. Solid base. Or maybe not so solid.
Johnny!
Uh-huh. In the base of the bottle.
Star of Cape Town.
I'll bet you're real surprised, aren't you?
Johnny, I didn't know it was there. I didn't have any idea. I swear it.
She's telling the truth, Mr. Dodd.
Miss Forbes.
Wow. Well, Agatha, that gun looks sort of out of character.
Perhaps. I won't hesitate to use it if necessary.
I don't understand.
It was cruel of Andrew and me to use you like this, Helen, but we saw no other alternative.
Wait a minute. You and your brother rigged this whole deal right from the beginning, didn't you? Sure. Sure, because you slipped yesterday, Agatha, when you told me you'd discussed your brother's party with him. But back in Cape Town, he told me it was a surprise party for you.
Johnny, I still...
Oh, it's simple, Helen. That bottle of perfume would have turned up missing when you got to New York. Agatha would have appropriated it. One big question, Agatha. Why all this?
Have you any idea what it means to see somebody drag the family name through the dirt time after time with his wild escapades? And have you any idea what those escapades cost?
Your brother was in debt, huh?
Terribly. We were pressed to the wall.
Oh, why didn't you sell the diamond?
We were bound by the will not to. But arrangements were made with someone in New York. What we could get for the diamond, plus what we could collect from the insurance. It would be enough.
Oh, nice little scheme. But you didn't figure on Julio Biak trying for the diamond in Cape Town and killing your brother in the process.
No. First, I didn't know what to do. But it soon became clear that more than ever, I had to go through with a plan. My brother's creditors began to make trouble right after his murder. The diamond, please.
Oh, now look. Don't you get it, Agatha? You're licked.
What do you mean?
You've done all this to protect the Forbes name.
Of course.
You failed. The story's out.
No. It's known only to the two of you.
How are you going to keep us from talking?
I'll do whatever is necessary.
Bribe us? Kill us? Sorry, neither one's going to work.
Mr. Dollar, do not force
me... You're trapped, Agatha. By the same thing that got you into all this, the Forbes name. Are you going to brand it with murder? No. No, I don't think you are. I don't think you could.
I don't know. Please, Mr. Dollar.
I'll take the gun, Agatha. Thanks.
Oh, Johnny.
It's okay, Helen.
I guess I have failed, haven't I? All the way.
Expense account item 13, $375.50. Transportation and incidentals from Dakar home. Expense account total, $1,283.60. I turned the diamond over to the authorities for safekeeping, and Agatha Forbes to face charges of fraud. Julio Biak and Ben Stacy were indicted for the murder of Andrew Forbes. Remarks? How about Agatha? I guess she did what she did because she thought the end justified the means, which is one of the oldest sucker traps of them all. About Helen? Well, now that she's no longer a suspect, could be I'm no longer building up to a big letdown with her. At least it hasn't come yet, and I'm still waiting. And the waiting is real pleasant. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a yacht that wasn't there and a man who wasn't there. They never were. But that's where I found them. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is written by Robert Reif and produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Gene Tatum, Virginia Gregg, Harry Bartell, Chester Stratton, Marvin Miller, and D.J. Thompson. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, I enjoyed this serial, and this one may have been, it may not have been the most emotionally engaging. I think some of the earlier ones may have done that, but this one may have been the best mystery, just because they really had a multifaceted solution. Oftentimes, and I think most of the times, as we've heard these Johnny Dollar stories, we've had one culprit. But when you have two different groups of people with different ends, that really makes for an interesting mystery with a lot of complexity. So I appreciated this week's plot. All right, well, now on to listener comments and feedback, and we begin with an email from William. Who emails regarding Tony Barrett, who said, I was surprised to learn that Tony Barrett wrote a Johnny Dollar serial. So I looked him up on IMDb. If this is, in fact, the same Tony Barrett who is a character actor on many radio shows, then it's surprising to learn that he later became a prolific writer in television as well. Well, it's surprising to me anyway. It seems like a lot of character actors in old-time radio either continued acting in TV or they dropped out of sight altogether. But this Tony Barrett apparently had his last television acting role in 1959 and was writing into the 1970s. Well, it's an old cliche about actors. What I really want to do is direct or write. And even in the case of Bob Bailey, Bob Bailey actually wrote a little bit for early television and for at least one episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And I'll mention which one it is because he often wrote under pseudonyms, so it was kind of hard to track down. And a lot of people who come to Hollywood wanting to get involved in the creative end of things, they start out through acting. That's exactly, you know, the path, for example, that Jack Webb took. And Tony Barrett did indeed have a very successful career writing a lot of episodes of Felony Squad, Burke's Law, Peter Gunn, and really just an incredibly solid career as a writer and a producer over television. And that perhaps was really where his whole intention may have been from the get-go. And Christine commented regarding the Midas Touch matter, one of my favorites. Thanks, Christine. That was a good serial. Now, let's go ahead and take a listen to part three of Kudos for Khan in the Carter Brown serials.
Carter Brown Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
Well, it looked like your hero, Joe Kahn, wasn't the only one searching for Helen Duisberg. But at least your hero knew why the dame was so popular. Because of the parcel given to me by her dead husband's pal, Kaplan. The parcel which contained $200,000 and which now nestled in my safe deposit box. Since I was sure that Mailer, the manager of the Casbah nightclub, was tied up in the thing, I'd had my secretary, Daisy, get us off a job there as cigarette girl. Then I sat tight and waited for something to break. Hello?
Is that you, Mr. Kahn?
Yeah, who's that?
It's Kaplan here. You remember me?
Oh, sure. What can I do for you, Mr. Kaplan?
You remember I gave you a parcel?
Yeah.
Well, there seems to have been some sort of mistake.
Mistake?
Yes. Mrs. Duesberg is with me now, and she claims that she never gave you any authority to pick up that parcel for her. And she wants it right away.
She's with you now?
That's right, Mr. Kahn.
Well, hold her there. I'll be right over.
Mr. Kahn, you were quick. Come in.
Thanks. She's still here?
Yes, yes. She's waiting for you in the living room. This way.
I'm glad you called me, Captain. Now, don't worry. I can straighten everything out.
I hope so. Here we are.
What? Don't be shy, Kahn. Come on in.
Mailer.
Hank? You're right, Kahn. That's a gun on your kidneys. Play it smart and you'll keep them. Get his gun, Hank. That's it.
Well, well, well. Nice work, Kaplan. You really had me fooled. I thought the Duesberg dame was really here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kahn. Honest I am, but they burst in here threatening me. I wouldn't have done it even then, but they started on my wife. I just couldn't stand that, Mr. Kahn. I just couldn't stand it.
Sure, Kaplan, sure, I understand.
Now we've all had a good cry. Where is it, Kahn?
How did you figure Kaplan?
Not too difficult. After you came to see me, I said to Hank, there goes one smart private eye. Why don't you follow him around a little and see where he goes?
Oh?
We got interested when you went to Glauben Chemicals, and even more interested when you came here to see Kaplan. You're a smart, all right, Kahn. It was staring us in the face, but we never saw it. Cortez never chose Carl Duesberg for the job because he was dumb. He chose him because he had brains. And Duesberg wouldn't trust anybody. But he thought he'd look after his wife, Helen. So he made sure even she wouldn't know where it was, until she woke up sometime and remembered his pal Kaplan. That way, he made it safe for Helen, both with Cortez and me. It took a private eye to show us the way.
Yeah, a private eye who was so smart he forgot to look behind him when he walked down the road.
We all make mistakes, and we have to pay for them. So where is it?
Supposing I don't tell you.
Supposing you want to go on living.
That's just why I won't tell you. You aren't going to kill me till you get what was in that parcel. So, I think I won't tell you.
Hank. Now, where did you say it was?
I let you into a secret, Naylor. I can take an awful lot of that. It's not as bad as people make out. When it gets really bad, you pass out anyway. And even if you don't pass out, you say the parcel is somewhere where it isn't. That gives you a break until the guy finds out it isn't there. It's a game we could play for a long time.
So, what do you want for the parcel? Percentage? We could discuss it.
I don't want any percentage. I got into this because I have a client. I want what the client wants. Helen Duesberg. Give me Helen, and I'll give you the parcel.
I'll need 48 hours. I'll have to do a little organizing.
Okay, you'll call me?
No, I don't think so. Just in case you change your mind and decide to skip with the parcel, I think you'd better be my guest for the next 48 hours. The Casbah isn't a bad sort of place.
Okay. Suits me.
We'll go, then. Mr. Kaplan.
Yes?
Here's $500. That's to help you forget about what's happened here. If you don't forget, we'll come back.
It was early when we arrived at the Casbah. Too early for customers, but not for the staff, the waiters, and the cigarette girls. As we walked through the room, I saw a vision in black net stockings, black tights, and a tight black blouse.
What's the matter? What are you stopping for?
I'm out of cigarettes. Mind if I buy some?
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks.
Cigarettes, sir?
Two packs of Camels. Daisy, you're going to keep me here. Find out which room. See if you can get the key. I gotta get out, but fast.
The things I do for a living. Two packs of Camels, sir.
Thanks. Keep the change. I left Daisy, rejoined Mailer and Hank, and was led down a corridor past Mailer's office. He stopped at a door and opened it.
I apologize for the smallness of the room, Con, but you'll be comfortable here, if a little restricted. Tomorrow we'll let you out and around for exercise. I'll have a meal sent up later.
Thanks.
Be seeing you, Con.
The click of the lock was an unpleasant sound somehow. I reached for a cigarette and wished it was a bottle. About an hour later, the door opened and Hank dumped a tray inside. The food was good, but it almost made me feel sleepy. 2 hours later, I was stretched on the bed when the key grated in the lock again.
Joe!
Daisy!
Hurry up!
Daisy, honey, how'd you do it?
That ugly character called Hank had the key.
Well, how'd you get it from him?
I distracted him.
But how?
These legs you're always talking about.
Oh, they're worth their weight in gold. Then what?
Then I smacked him with a bottle.
Daisy, you're a wonder. How do we get out of here?
Straight down to the right. That's the back door. Come on, hurry, before Hank comes round.
Hey, there's a car.
Oh, Joe, the car's no good unless you've got the keys for
it. Well, you never know. People get careless. Hey, we're in luck. Look, a Cadillac with keys.
Oh.
Here's where we ride in style, baby. Come on, climb in.
Right. Well, I think I rate a raise for that rescue act.
You sure do, honey. You're terrific. There's only one thing I wish.
What?
If we'd had time to get back to Hank so I could have collected my gun.
Well, keep your eyes straight ahead.
Huh?
Don't turn your head. Now, hold out your hand. Is that it?
My gun? Daisy.
I thought you might want a gun, so I took it. I'm glad to get rid of it. The darn thing was cold.
That's it, Daisy. The whole story up to date.
Gee, $200,000. That's enough to last for a lifetime.
But it's probably hot money, honey.
It'd keep me warm. For sure.
Besides, think of all the taxes.
Yes. That takes the dough out of my dreams. Back to being your secretary with no salary. At least they'd have paid me at the Casbar. It was a nice place. They run it in style.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as his place in Duluth, they tell me. A club called the Arabian Nights. They say it's super.
Yeah. Hey, what was that?
What's the matter? Did I say something?
Did you ever? What was that about a place in Duluth?
Well, they say it's better than the Casbar, that's all.
All is right. But of course it's a natural. Mailer said it'd take him 48 hours to get her up here. If she's working at his Duluth joint, he'd need time to replace her. Daisy!
Oh, don't yell like that. You startle me.
Now, look, get on the phone, find out when the next plane leaves for Duluth. Book 2 seats. Then get back to your apartment, change and pack. I'll do the same. Then we go looking for some quiet hotel.
What for?
Just to keep out of Mailer's way till the plane goes. Now, go to it, honey. While I waited for Daisy to come back, I did one more thing. I called Diane Clutterbuck at the Astoria and told her about my hunch that the sister she was looking for was at Mailer's night spot in Duluth. I promised to call a long distance if my hunch paid off. The next evening, Daisy and I were sitting at a table in the Arabian Nights in Duluth.
Well, they were right about this place being better than the Casbah.
Yeah. That's a first-rate floor show.
Joe, Con, keep that wolf in his kennel. I'm the girl you should be concentrating on, not those underdressed stains on the floor.
But they're really something. Especially that black-haired babe. She can dance, too.
It's not her dancing you're interested in.
Well, that too.
I thought you said this Helen Duesberg would be doing her act here. She hasn't come on so far, and the floor show's nearly finished.
Yeah, I've been worrying about that, too.
Con, the great detective. Has it occurred to you we might have made the trip for nothing?
Oh, not for nothing, honey. Just to catch those cuties is worth plenty.
They're finishing, thank goodness. There. That raven-haired beauty you were feasting your eyes on is taking her vow and...
Well, I'll be...
That black hair, it's a wig. She's taken it off. She's a blonde.
She's not only a blonde, she is also Helen Duisberg.
Joe!
Yeah, we found her, Daisy. You stay here, honey.
Where are you going?
To say hello to Helen. Keep a candle in the window for me.
Come in.
Mrs. Duisberg?
Who are you?
I'm Joe Kahn, a private detective. That probably doesn't mean anything to you, but your sister Diane hired me to find you for her.
My sister Diane?
That's right. I might also tell you that I found out where Carl left the silver box.
What?
He left it with Kaplan. He wrote you a note with it. Said that was the safest way.
How do you know all this?
It's a long story, but I've got the silver box. I was bargaining it against you with Mailer. The question is now, what do you want to do about it?
I'm afraid it's a little late for Mrs. Duisberg to decide that.
What? Cortez?
Plus a gun, Mr. Kahn. Plus a gun.
Welcome back. Well, this one is setting up for a really good conclusion. And I definitely expect to see some action. Of course, next week will be the last of our Carter Brown mysteries for a while, as we don't have any more of these serials available. And the week after that, we have a serial where we have a missing part two. So we'll have Here Comes McBride on Wednesday. But in 2 weeks, you'll want to be sure and listen for... In three weeks, you'll want to be sure and listen for Manhunt. And next week, we will come back with the conclusion of Kudos for Khan. So next week, Kudos for Khan. Week after that, Johnny Dollar. And then we'll talk to you about Manhunt. Now, one more listener comment, and this one comes from Michael, who says, been listening for years, great job. Well, thanks so much for your support, Michael. That'll do it for today. Again, next week, join us on next Friday for the final Carter Brown story. Join us on Monday as we start a new Johnny Dollar serial. And tomorrow it'll be the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.